My name is Zoe, and this is Blanket Buds. So in short, I'm the girl behind the viral Dallas Stars scoreboard blanket, and I wanted a space where I could capture the process and the memories that I've made through this project and all of the people that I've met, those who are making their own blankets, interview them for this series, and just have this big diary of the scoreboard blanket. So basically how this whole thing started is I was inspired by temperature blankets. And if you don't know what a temperature blanket is, it is a year-long project that a crocheter or knitter takes on where they start each row based on what the average weather for the day is. And they assign a color to different temperature ranges, like if it's going to be 35 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit outside, they're going to give that like a colder temperature color like blue or purple. And then by the end of the year, you've crocheted every single day or caught up with crocheting every single day, and you'll have 365 rows of a blanket that just measures the existence that you had that year. And people do this with a lot of different things. They do it with their moods each day. I attempted to do a temperature blanket last year with books that I read, which didn't work out. And sometimes that happens with projects like this that are a year long, which is awesome when you can complete it because it is a commitment in itself to crafting, to crocheting, to knitting, whatever you're doing. And so that's really the point of temperature blankets, is committing to a project for a year. So I wanted to do a temperature blanket for years, and I saw Kyra Crochets on Instagram, Twitter, and in TikTok. I think she's Kyra Crochets on everything. She made a Eras Tour temperature-inspired blanket where she tracked the surprise songs for the American and I believe the Latin American legs of the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. And I just love that idea so much. And I thought, why can't I track something that's not the weather just like that? So I put my mind to it for about 5 seconds and said, oh, what am I obsessed with? The Dallas Stars and hockey. So that's how I landed on that. And in October, this kind of came together really fast because I had been thinking about this for a few months. But then preseason happened and I was like, oh shoot, I need to go buy some yarn. I need to decide this. I need to pick colors. And obviously the colors were easy to choose because Dallas just so happens to have 4 colors that are primary for their jerseys. And, I went to Walmart, picked up my yarn. I was actually, 4 days late into the season to actually start my blanket. So there was some catch up to do with the first 4 games or the first few games, and I just started mathing it out, not really having a plan, which kind of bit me in the butt at the end of it, but it was my own project. It was all me, so I just kind of went with the flow, didn't plan it out, and kind of, like I said, tried to math it as I went. And I actually have a few drafts of the blanket that are just like a few rows that I started. And I was like, no, I need this to be thicker, or I don't like these colors associated with each outcome. So what I ended up deciding on was 4 rows per game using the moss stitch, which is common for temperature blankets. And it's really simple, just a single crochet and a chain stitch. So very beginner friendly. And I decided on green for wins, white for losses, because those two are their main jersey colors, home and away. And then silver for overtime wins, because that is around the star logo in their jerseys. And it's just, you know, a prettier color. So I wanted to go with wins. And then black for overtime losses, which is, of course, the detailing and the blackout jerseys. So those were the 4 colors I went with and why that certain scheme. And also, all of those are in acrylic 4-weight yarn, and I'm using a G-hook, which is a 4.5 millimeter. So that was how that whole thing came together. And as I've been going through this process of making the blanket, there have obviously been amazing ideas that come up. like, oh, I should have done something for a shutout and I did not do anything for shutouts, or I should have done something for the games that I attended, which I didn't. But that was all part of the learning process of what I can do for the next blanket or what someone else can do for their blanket. So another thing was, how long is this going to be? Basically, I tried to math it out so that each game at four rows with the yarn weight that I was using and the hook size and the stitches I was using would be about an inch. And I think they came out to be a little bit less based on my tension, but they ended up right at, I think, 6 feet is what my brain mathed that out to be. But I think we might be a little bit longer. I haven't measured in a while. But we have gone through all 82 regular season games. And throughout that process, there have been a lot of fun little things that have happened. And just starting in November, I went to a Stars game at the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus. And at that point, I barely had, I don't know, maybe like 10 rows or something like that. And I was talking to someone who was traveling around and visiting the Stars games as they go. And his wife was actually knitting as the game was going on. So I was talking to her a little bit about the project that I'm working on. And she is the one that gave me the idea for the name. She called it, a scoreboard blanket, which I know doesn't exactly align with what it is, because it's more like a standings blanket. But scoreboard blanket was just what stuck in my brain. That's what I started calling it. And then when I put it on Twitter about 2 weeks later, in the end of November, that's what I went with as the name. I called it the Dallas Stars scoreboard blanket. And I just gave this little update of it being 19 rows of a blanket, barely even like a scarf width. And the Stars immediately on Twitter liked the post and replied to it, said that they wanted updates. And really that was where it ended for me. I wanted the Star social team to see it. I wanted them to, you know that it was happening, and that's where it was supposed to end. Although I did text one of my friends and say, like, out of everything, whatever comes of this blanket, which I didn't think anything would come of it. It was just a blanket that I was going to have at the end and a commitment to crocheting for at least 82 games, 9 months of a season, was I wanted someone on Twitter to offhandly mention me as the Dallas Stars blanket girl. Well, that has happened, and I did not expect ever for that to happen, let alone all the things that came from it, but the tweet went viral. I'm pretty sure it's at 190,000 impressions at this point or something like that. And I did follow up tweets with more progress, a little bit monthly, somewhere around that range. And I believe the next tweet came on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. And I let everyone know who was following along with the blanket where we were at, which was beach towel size, as I called it. And also that I was going to be at the St. Louis Blues Stars game in St. Louis on the 27th of December. And the Stars messaged me when I was in St. Louis, and they asked me if I wanted to meet up with the social team to do a story. And of course, I was like, absolutely, yes. You don't even need to ask. Like, I would be there. So I took my uncles, who are Blues fans, actually, and we went to the game. I got to meet the social team for the Stars, and they were amazing, lovely people, doing amazing work. I am in awe of them and what, like, came out of this. But I got interviewed by the social media admin, and I got pictures taken, and of course, during that game, the pictures were posted and the tweet went along the lines of, you know, look who's here. And it was quote tweeted on my tweet so everyone would know, like, the color system and what was going on. And I actually look at that picture now and it's crazy to see how small the blanket actually was in December, only 2 months or 2.5 months into the season. So that is just like a crazy, like, progress pick for me, considering that was absolutely nothing. And I was very excited with how big it was at that point. And it wasn't even halfway of the season. So that happened. They lost that game, which was fine, but it was, it's, you know, all part of the game. But really doing the interview that came out the next day helped spread the blanket more on social media. And that went across their platforms, of course. And more people at that point had reached out and said, oh my gosh, I love this idea. I want to make one for my favorite team. I want to make one for the Seattle Kraken. I want to make one for the New York Islanders, the Rangers, the Capitals, whatever. And that just like floored me that people wanted to do this idea too. That there was a community for this, that, you know, there's a bigger crossover of crocheters and hockey fans out there. So I was very excited by that. And every time I saw a new blanket pop up in my Twitter mentions, like, oh, I'm making a, you know, a New Jersey Devils blanket inspired by the Dallas Stars scoreboard blanket, and then adding me in the mention, like, I'm not even kidding, I would cry. Like, there were tears shed in those early days just seeing that idea being, like, inspiring and transforming into all these other people making their own blankets. And on top of that, all of the ways that they turned the blankets into something more. Granny square patterns and different colorways and using chunky yarn over thin acrylic yarn and doing borders and doing different kinds of stitches. It was just amazing to see all the different ways that people used their creativity to make this blanket more than I ever could have thought it was. So after the trip in St. Louis and this newfound popularity for the blanket, it kind of drew more people in, as I said, and we kind of made this group chat with a dozen of us who are making blankets for our favorite teams. And we just started as a Twitter group chat sharing, you know, here and there trade stuff or what is happening with our blankets, progress and stuff like that. And then it just kind of snowballed into us talking all the time on Twitter. And then it became a Discord server where we have all these conversations about hockey or crocheting, F1, and our lives, our schoolwork, our work, and our families. And it just became this beautiful thing where we all just became such great friends. And then this idea kind of hatched within the Discord server that I could go to Dallas, Texas. I had never been to Texas before. And I wanted to go to a home game, and two of the people who are making blankets, who are in the Discord server, who are now dear friends of mine, were going to go to the Kraken game, because they're Kraken fans, in Dallas. And I was so down to do it, and it was a little scary at first, because maybe it wasn't going to come together, because, you know, people on the internet, you never know if things are going to come together, but I love every single one of these people in this group chat so dearly, and I am happy to report that I survived. My mom thought I was going to end up on a true crime podcast. Not today. Not me, not today. So I went to Dallas, and I actually got interviewed by WFAA Channel 8 in Dallas, and that was a really cool experience. I got to sit on the steps of PNC Plaza outside of the American Airlines Center, in front of the Mike Modano statue that just got put up, and do a little TV broadcast interview. And there was a written story about it. It was just very fun as a journalist myself to be on the other side of that. And, you know, kind of take some pride in the blanket that I've created, and also just see the AAC for the first time in person when we drove in, past the arena to get to where we were staying. You could see the big Jason Robertson on the side, and I did shriek when I saw him at that scale. It was crazy. And just seeing it in person after seeing it on my TV for so long. But then the next day we went to the game. I met up again with the Stars social media admin, got a picture for socials again with some of my friends who are also making blankets, and it was just an awesome game experience. They beat the Kraken, which was awesome for me to see a win at home, and also they clinched the Central Division the same day, so it was a really special win and a really special trip to Dallas.
And now here we are in playoffs. It's not going awesome, I'll be honest, but I am working on a border. That's how I wanted to differentiate it. We're doing a single crochet border all around with a gold like row to differentiate between the blanket regular season games and now this border of playoff games. And the gold will be between each round of playoffs if we make it there. It's like I said, at this point of recording, it's not going well. But that's how hockey goes. And however the season ends, obviously, you know, all going all the way would be perfect and just a dream come true for the blanket, for me as a fan, for, you know, the whole Dallas Stars fan base. But it's how hockey goes. And if this isn't our season, then it'll be one heck of a blanket that I put together. And I look forward to next season, maybe another blanket next season. So that's me, and that's how the Dallas Stars scoreboard blanket came to be. I hope that you'll continue to listen as I interview over the next few episodes people who are making their own blankets for their favorite teams. That really is, like I said, my favorite part of this whole thing. So getting to hear their perspectives on seeing my blanket online and kind of branching off and creating their own ideas will be so awesome for me, just the catalog here. So I'm very excited about that. You can follow along with my blankets progress at Zoe Kalen on Twitter and Instagram. That's Zoe Kalen. And also on Instagram, we have at Stars Blanket, spelled exactly as you think. And thank you so much for listening.